Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 2, verses 23 through chapter 3, verse 6, from the New Revised Standard Version. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to them, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some of his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Another time Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked him, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Please pray with me. Holy God, as a deep breath fills our lungs with air, so fill us with your spirit as we hear your word this day. Ground us in your love, convict us with your truth, and move us to respond, that we may embody your good news in all we do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I tell you what, Jesus sure knew how to get in trouble. He had to have known that he was really, really irritating the powers that be. There's just no way that he didn't know what he was doing. Jesus was an expert in religious law. He studied the same things that his contemporaries did. But his understanding went a little deeper than that strict letter of the law. And the religious leaders of his time saw the way that Jesus lived out his interpretation of the law, and they thought that he was purposely defying everything they knew about how to honor God. Okay, so there are a lot of laws outlined in the Bible. 613 of them. Today, as Christians, we tend to focus on the Ten Commandments. Does anyone know, you don't count, where we find the Ten Commandments in the Bible? Exodus? And where else? No. The front. Yes, the front cover. Exodus and Deuteronomy. And a lot of those other 600 some laws, a lot of those are found in Leviticus. So, can anyone tell me what the fourth commandment is?
Honor the Sabbath and keep it holy.
That is actually a trick question. That is, for us, yes, that is the fourth commandment. Other traditions do number the commandments differently. So for some, that's the third commandment, but we see it as the fourth. So as a commandment, Sabbath seems to be a pretty important part of our lives as Christians, of living out our faith. It's on par, it's listed with those other ones like, don't lie, don't steal, don't kill people. But Sabbath it's not just a uniquely Christian idea. We know that our Jewish siblings do have ways of honoring the Sabbath. They're actually very, very good at it. And our Muslim siblings and Baha'i, Buddhists, some Native Americans, just to name a few traditions that you wouldn't think of having some sort of Sabbath, they incorporate, they don't call it Sabbath keeping, but that's basically what it is. They add that into their practices. But what does Sabbath mean? Like, how are we supposed to remember the Sabbath? And what does it mean to keep it holy? So do any of you have any Sabbath-keeping practices? Anyone? No? Coming to church? Yeah. That's what that I will admit, keeping Sabbath is a very difficult thing for me. And I try very, very hard to set aside Fridays as a day that I don't do any church work, very ironically. But there are some times that there are things that just have to be taken care of. Unfortunately, yins don't tend to schedule your emergencies. And sometimes there are meetings or community events that are scheduled on a Friday and I need to be there. I still enjoy it, right? But I'm not actually fully setting aside that time for God. So the priests in Jesus' day, the Pharisees, they were the religious leaders that believed that everyone could and should be priests and live like priests in their everyday lives. And they encouraged everyone to follow the religious laws found in the Torah. But they also wanted people to follow the oral traditions that were passed down from Moses. And they had very, very thorough and detailed descriptions of how to not honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. So there are many sects of Judaism that still follow these prescriptions for the Sabbath. Every week, from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday, Jewish families refrain from work. And by work, I don't mean not going into the office or the job site. There are 39 types of work activities that are forbidden on the Sabbath, and each one of those 39 have even more details below them. And as we get more technologically advanced, those start to change too. There's no planting, there's no gathering, sorting, grinding, cooking, no cutting, laundering, weaving, or sewing, no hunting, fishing, preserving, no writing, editing, transporting, constructing, or demolishing, no lighting or extinguishing of a fire. Within each of these categories are details about what they mean. And there is one and only one exception to these prohibitions on the Sabbath: saving a human life. So you can put out a fire, if someone is birthing. In this passage, though, the first no-no that Jesus and his disciples committed was to pick grain in a field. Now, the issue wasn't that they were picking grain from a field that wasn't theirs. That is actually explicitly permitted by the law, so long as it's not done with a tool. The violation here was that they were performing a combination of reaping, gathering, and sorting on the Sabbath day. Something important for you to note. Jesus wasn't trying to hide anything from anyone. Everything he and the disciples did, it was out in the open. And at the same time, the Pharisees weren't sneaking around or furtively spying. They knew there was something remarkable about Jesus. And so they followed him. Jesus was well aware of their presence. They followed him because there was something really cool about this guy. He had some sort of connection to God, but what was it? But the Pharisees, they see this infraction and they call it out right away. Why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? And Jesus doesn't affirm this or deny what's happening, but he does ask a counter question. I am still just so jealous of the way that Jesus can ask a counter question to avoid answering the original question. So he asks another question and he brings the conversation to a whole different level. And he asks the Pharisees about a time in the Bible, it's in 1 Samuel, about when David and his companions, they're eating consecrated bread at the temple while they're on the lamb. And the suggestion that Jesus is making here is that the disciples are gathering the grain, they're picking it in order to eat it, because they were hungry, just the way that David and his companions were hungry. Then we get to a different Sabbath, a different day. They're in the synagogue. And again, Jesus knows that these people are around. He knows that there are some Pharisees that are looking to find fault in Jesus' actions. Ironically, they know Jesus has the power to heal, but they still seem to be just waiting for him to make a mistake. They're just waiting for him to use this power. I don't know about you, but if I came across someone who had the power to heal someone with a word or a touch, I might not be too picky about when they decided to use those powers. I might pay attention to the other things that this miracle worker said and did. So Jesus still, he initiates healing a man that had a withered hand. He asked the man to stretch out his arm, and immediately it's restored. Gasps! Ah! Shock! Amazement! Pearl clutching! Again, there is one exception to the prohibitions against work on Sabbath: saving a human life. And the implication here is that this man's injury wasn't life-threatening. Surely Jesus could have waited a day, right? But Jesus asks the rhetorical question, what's lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or evil? To save a life or to kill? Do we exist just to keep the law? Are our traditions and interpretations of religious and secular laws, are those things more important than the well-being of our fellow humans? If you take absolutely nothing else from what I'm saying today, please take this. Jesus is not abolishing the observance of the Sabbath. Jesus is not even saying, hey, you can make up your own rules about what the Sabbath is. The Sabbath was designed for the human need to rest, to raise us above our endless hours of toil and earthly labors, to take time to commemorate God's creation, to have a brief taste of God's kingdom, and to rejoice in God's endless presence. And Jesus is saying, when we get too technical about following the rules, not just the rules about Sabbath, when we get too technical, we end up harming people. And when we harm other people, we're violating the deeper intent of the laws. The deeper principle of doing good is what should govern our behaviors during the Sabbath, and also every other day. Jesus isn't anti-tradition. Jesus is pro-people. While I was reading through this, I found it really interesting. I'm looking through some of the other miracles, some of the other healings of Jesus. And I found it really, really interesting that every healing that is initiated by Jesus within the Gospels, every healing that's initiated by Jesus happens on a Sabbath. All of the other healings are initiated by the sick themselves or their friends and family. And I think that says something deeper about Jesus' relationship to the Sabbath. Jesus himself says he is the Lord of the Sabbath. And if the main point of the Sabbath is to restore life, that's exactly what Jesus does. We serve a Lord who acts with compassion, even when that compassion breaks the rules. In light of that, I wonder what field Jesus is walking through in my life, in your lives. What ears of corn is Jesus plucking from our rituals, our sacred rituals? Who is Jesus healing that we believe should remain sick? What is Jesus doing here today that makes him look a little foolish? Or worse yet, dangerous? In what ways is Jesus embodying the opposite of what we assume a holy person should be? And would we rather kill Jesus than be transformed by his love? So I invite you this week to spend a little bit of time thinking about Sabbath keeping. What gives you rest? What gives you joy? What makes you feel closer to God? Spend some time reflecting on God's intention for you and for your community. Take notice of those rules that we follow that might be separating us from God and from one another. Amen.